Folks, we're going to commence this service of thanksgiving for the life of our sister Audrey Burke. And we're going to sing the first hymn in our order of service. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. The first hymn in the order of service, and we'll ask you please after the introduction to stand as we sing. Bow together, please, in prayer this afternoon. Let's seek the Lord's face for our coming together in this special service. Gracious Heavenly Father, in the wondrous and worthy and precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come into thy presence this day. And we thank thee that in thy house we can commune with God. And we do it, Lord, as we do it everywhere else, through Christ. He is the one mediator between God and man. He is our Redeemer today. Lord, we thank thee that when the solemnity of death hits men and women, that we can turn to the God of all comfort in the person of the beloved Son. Thy word reminds us here in his love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us. And Father, we thank thee on the basis of that love. We can say with assurance and confidence this afternoon that our dear sister Audrey, who suffered so much in the latter part of her life, indeed had trouble for a lot of her life, yet we thank thee because of Christ, his death and resurrection, because his blood paid her ransom. Lord, we can with assurance say today, she's with Christ, forever with the Lord. Amen. So let it be. We're comforted with this. And we know, Lord, that these truths will help the family to come to terms with the loss of a loved one. There are brothers and sisters, nephews and nieces, friends, dear ones, and they need thee just now. Lord, we have the assurance, and we bless God for it, that as far as Audrey's concerned, it's well with her soul. She's with Christ, which is far better. And we know, Lord, it would be her wish that if there are any family members or friends gathered that are not saved, that don't have the assurance that she had in life, that even as a result of her home call, they too will come meet with Jesus, wash their robes and make them white in the blood of the Lamb. So, Lord, to that end today, do bless. We thank thee for every memory of our dear sister. We know, Lord, from conversation, not only with herself but with others, that she was a godly woman. She loved the Lord. She sought him often. Oh God, just come now and honor thy word as it would be spoken. Bless your servant as he pays a tribute to a dear one. Bless the preacher of the word, Lord, who will stand here shortly and preach Christ. Yes. Bless Mr. Porter today, Lord. Help him. Give him that needed grace. And Lord, help us all. And may our thoughts and attention be focused on the great truth that eternity's real. Death is coming. We need to prepare to meet our God. Abide with us now. In Jesus' name, amen. The second hymn in the order of service, there's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. We'll stand again as we sing this lovely second hymn. Everyone.
Thank you.
Amen. We're very glad to have in the pulpit this afternoon to share in this Thanksgiving service good brother Pastor Raymond Cotter, who is a brother-in-law of Audrey Burke, and he's going to come now and bring a tribute to our sister. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I was just thinking as we were singing that hymn, if it wasn't for that hope, like Paul said, we would be of all men most miserable. But thank God the gospel, it makes a real difference in the lives of a man or a woman. I want to say today on behalf of the Burke family, I would like to thank you all for joining us with us today in this service to celebrate and give thanks to God for the life of Audrey Burke. We would like especially to thank the doctors and nursing staff of 2 North Craigavon Area Hospital who really looked after Audrey over the last couple of weeks. We'd like to thank the GPs and the nursing staff at Market Hill Health Centre. And especially the family would like me to express our thanks to Audrey's good friend, Betty. Betty, with Audrey over the years, went far beyond the call of duty. And Betty, the family deeply appreciate your love and your support for Audrey. We'd also like to thank Iris and Alec, the neighbours of Audrey, who were so kind and so helpful to Audrey. And the family really appreciate that so much. We want to thank today especially the Reverend Baxter, who has been looking after the church here for the last number of months and has visited Audrey regularly. Sir, we appreciate your pastoral care and support. It was Audrey's wish that the Reverend Porter, who was a great friend of Audrey's, is here today, and it was Audrey's wish that he should preach the Word of God. And we appreciate, sir, you coming the whole way from Enniskillen to be at this service today. I first met Audrey in 1971. I was a young student at Elam Bible College at that particular time, and like a lot of the students, I fell in love with a young lady from County Armagh, who is now my wife, Connie. I came from Ballymena originally, and one day Connie thought it was time for me to be introduced to the family. And I tell you, the first time I left Ballymena to make my way to White Cross and to Carrickananny Road, I wondered what kind of a place Connie was going to bring me to. And up those windy roads and the way up into the back street, in those days, in the 70s, it was called the Bandit Country. And Connie brought me there. Audrey and her mummy and the family were there to greet me. And I think they thought Connie had got quite a good catch at that particular time. Audrey looked after us well. And I remember Audrey was a great cook. And Audrey, even in those days, she went beyond the call of duty. I remember when I would go, Audrey would vacate her bedroom, and she would put up a temporary bedroom in the passageway and allow me the use of the bedroom when I visited the home. Audrey, at that particular time, she attended, or before that there, Audrey attended the Beleek Church of Ireland. But something remarkable happened in the life of Audrey. In 1954, there was a gospel mission being conducted in Bessbrook. Some of the older folk will remember Bolan and Grant. The mission was conducted by Bolan and Grant, who at that particular time there was a great move of God and many people had come to Christ. In the first week of the mission, I think Audrey's mum got saved. In the second week of the mission, her late sister Irene got saved. And then Audrey says, in her own words, in the third week of the mission, on the Friday night, Audrey committed her life to the Lord Jesus. A little letter that Audrey left for us really sums up what Audrey, what Christianity meant to Audrey. Audrey said for her, when she trusted Christ as her Lord and Savior, she said, "I just wanted to live for the Lord." Something remarkable happened in Audrey's life. Audrey, many of you will know, in 1971, I met her at first. 1973, Connie and I get married, and we were delighted that Audrey was fit enough to be the bridesmaid at our wedding, along with Leona McClure, who is here today. And Audrey, when I met her at first, Audrey did not have good health. She had very poor health at that time, suffered greatly with asthma. In fact, Audrey, after a couple of years, we had a young boy born, Timothy, and we didn't hear until we were in the hospital. One day, Audrey was looking after Timothy in the house. She took him upstairs to the bedroom, and Audrey went into the bathroom. And Audrey at that time had an oxygen mask and oxygen, and she came out of the bathroom, and here was Timothy lying in bed with the oxygen mask on, full blast. And of course she went down and told her mummy, and her mummy said, "Well, Audrey, that's not the wee fella's fault, that's your fault for not looking after him." But there was many humorous times that all those years, and Audrey never told us it until last week in the hospital. She had a tough life with her health. She had suffered 3 heart attacks. She had a major operation in 1974 for ulcerated colitis. I remember that very well. I was her pastor at that time in Market Hill Elam Church, and the brother Leslie and I were rushed to the Royal on the Sunday. She had moved up there on the Saturday. We rushed to the Royal on the Sunday, and the surgeon, Mr. Wilson, told us that Audrey wouldn't live till the Tuesday. And there she baffled them all. She went on with ill health and all. Audrey was, no doubt about it, really committed to the Lord. And she found great source of comfort in the Word of God. In Audrey's illness and sickness, she would turn to the Word of God, and she had left a little note, and on the little note she had said, "One of the promises from the Word of God that sustained her in all her illness and sickness was found in Isaiah 41, verse 10, where the Word of God declares, 'Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of thy righteousness.'" Audrey found strength in the Word of God. I could say of Audrey today that Audrey was a faithful girl. She was faithful in her attendance to the house of God. When Audrey went to Market Hill Elam, she was very, very faithful in attendance. It's good to see the Irish superintendent here today, who at one time was Audrey's pastor. Now Audrey moved on and came to the Free Church here, and she was a faithful attender. There was times Audrey would be found in the house of God when really health-wise she should have been staying at home. But her desire was to be in the house of God with the people of God. She was attendant, faithful in her attendance to the house of God. Audrey was faithful in prayer. She was a woman of prayer. Because of her illness and being often shut in the house, Audrey would use that time wisely in seeking the face of God in prayer. I know Audrey prayed for years for her immediate family, her brothers and sisters. And it was a real breakthrough for Audrey when just a few years ago her brother Leslie trusted Christ. And many of Audrey's family today are in the work of the ministry today, I believe, because of the prayers of Audrey Burke. She was a great prayer for overseas missionary work. And when I took over the role of International Missions Director for Elam in Ireland, Audrey was very faithful in praying for Connie and I. She was very faithful in supporting us. Audrey was not only faithful in her prayers and her attendance to the house of God, but Audrey was very faithful with a generous spirit. And many people will have been benefactors of Audrey's generosity. I know just a few weeks ago, we came up to the house and Audrey was so organized. She had Christmas cards with a little gift for all of the children. She said to me, in fact, in the hospital, the only two people I haven't got a Christmas gift for is Alec and Leslie, but I'd give them a few pounds and they can get something for themselves. She was very faithful. She was very faithful in giving to missionary work. Audrey believed in the principle of the Bible in sowing into the work of God. She believed in that little poem, "Only one life, it will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ is going to last." She believed and put it into practice, not to lay up treasure for ourselves in earth, but to lay up treasure in heaven. So Audrey was faithful in her support, of her family, of her friends, and the work of God. The last few weeks for Audrey were not easy weeks. They were difficult weeks, and I know she appreciated those who sacrificially spent time with her in hospital. And Tuesday night, Connie and I stayed all night with her in the hospital, and David and Anne stayed on Wednesday night when she passed away on Thursday morning. And on Tuesday night, Audrey's voice was very weak. It was very difficult to make out what she was saying. And she just, for a split few moments, she lifted up her hands. And you knew she was lifting her hands in worship and began to sing praise unto the Lord. Audrey knew where she was going. She not only knew where she was going, but she had no desire left for this world. For Audrey knew the reality of what Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, which is far better. Someone has said, on the journey of life, God has not promised us an easy voyage, but he has promised us a safe landing. And Audrey has landed safe on that beautiful shore. She is in that city where the roses never fade. And the amazing thing today, because of the grace of God, each one of us can know that we will meet Audrey again if we trust Audrey's Saviour. May God bless you.
Thank you very much indeed, Brother, for that touching tribute. I want to read just two very short portions of Scripture, and then Mr. Porter is going to come. I haven't had the privilege of knowing Audrey Burke very long. Just after I was told about her being ill at home, the next day I went out and met her and talked with her, and subsequently then in the hospital a few times. But the one thing I learned in the short time I knew her, that this woman was a godly woman. Even though it was difficult for her at times to speak, when she did speak, she spoke about Jesus. She said to me, you know, the Lord is good to me. I left that place, I tell you, folks, encouraged. A woman, difficulty breathing, yet thank God for his goodness. That's a lovely way to be. She said to me, you know, if my breath stops here, I've told the hospital or not to resuscitate me or try to bring me back. She put her hand, she said, for I'm with the Lord, I'm in the hands. That's great to have a faith like that. This is the first psalm I read with her when we were in the home. Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. Not from the hills, but from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Then the last book of the Bible, the penultimate chapter, 21, verse 1. John in his vision, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Amen. And God will bless the public reading of his word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Glad Mr. Porter made the journey away up from Enniskillen. Now his service there in the morning was 12 o'clock. He couldn't have got away any earlier than 1, probably a bit after that. So if you know anybody from Traffic Branch, please don't tell them anything. But he got here in good time. He was delighted to come because he had such an affection for Miss Burke. And Audrey certainly loved him. And she continually talked about him as well whenever I was with her those few occasions. So we're glad that Mr. Porter was able to come today at Audrey's request especially. And I'm going to ask him to come, please, and bring the word of God before us. Thank you. Thanks,
brother. Can I just take this opportunity to thank the Burke family for asking me to share in this service of thanksgiving for the life of our departed sister, Miss Audrey Burke. Is certainly a great privilege and a great honour to be asked to take part in this service today. Also, on behalf of my wife Helen and her own immediate family and myself, I'd like to express our sincere Christian sympathy to Audrey's sisters and brothers and to the wider family circle, and to Dorothy, Mavis, Alex, Leslie, Connie and Lois. I want to assure you all of our prayers in the wider family circle that you will know much of the Lord's comfort and much of the Lord's grace and the Lord's strength today, and not only today, but in the days that lie ahead. It has been my privilege and a tremendous privilege to have known Audrey for over some 13 years since we took up the work here, Market Hill, as the minister in the past. And over those years, she was a tremendous encouragement to my wife, to ourselves, in the work of God and in the cause of Christ. Audrey was a woman who knew the Lord as her Savior, a woman who loved the Lord Jesus Christ fervently. She trusted, as has been said in the tribute, in Christ many years ago at a gospel mission. She was a woman who lived for Christ and a woman who lived for the things of God. Although Audrey herself was a lady who never married and never had any children of her own. And thinking about her, I believe we can truly liken her unto Deborah of old in the book of Judges. She was a true mother in Israel in that spiritual sense. You see, Audrey was a woman of prayer, as has been mentioned. She was a prayer warrior. Audrey was a faithful member of this congregation here. And if health allowed her and permitted her, she was at God's house Sunday morning, Sunday night, not only at the public services, but she was also at the prayer meetings and before the service, morning and evening. And she was also at the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. And I can truly testify she was a woman who prayed earnestly for the work of the Lord, for missionaries, as has already been mentioned, at home and abroad, for family members, for loved ones, for friends and for neighbours. But most importantly of all, she prayed for the salvation of souls. And many of you in the meeting here this afternoon, she prayed for you personally. She prayed for your salvation. And if health did not permit Audrey to attend the house of God, the meetings, she was at home praying while the meetings were in progress, whatever time that meeting was. She could not come to God's house. She was at home praying. And certainly this afternoon we must bow to the Lord's will in calling her home on Thursday morning. But I can certainly say that Audrey's presence in this church, this congregation, will be greatly missed. Her presence in this community, and no doubt in the family circle, those who loved her dearly, will be sorely missed. We can certainly say that heaven's gain is our loss, the passing of Audrey. And people, I would certainly leave the challenge of her life and the challenge of her testimony before you all today. And that challenge is, who here is willing to take her place as a prayer warrior? Who here is willing to take Audrey's place in this congregation? Who here is willing to take her place in the prayer meetings of the church? And my earnest prayer is today that God will touch some heart, even in this gathering here today, and that you will be the one who is willing to stand in the gap that Audrey leaves. Now, this afternoon, I just want to read three verses with you. Those verses are found in the New Testament book of Luke chapter 2. And just want to read three verses 28, verses 29, and verse 30. This is a passage that relates to a man called Simeon, who meets with the child Christ Jesus. Let me just read these three verses with you. It says, "Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." We'll just unite in a short word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy presence with us already in this gathering today, for the singing of thy praises, for the tribute that has been brought to our sister Audrey, and for the reading of thy precious and holy word. And Father, we just give thee thanks afresh today for the life and for the testimony and the triumph of the grace of God in the life of her sister Audrey. And we thank thee, O God, that today she is with Christ, which is far better. We thank thee, O God, that thou didst save her many years ago. We thank thee for thy keeping grace in her life, and all the way thou didst lead her, and all the way thou didst bless her, and all the way that thou didst use her. And Lord, even though her physical influence, Lord, from this scene of time may be no longer, we thank thee that thou hast promised that the works of the saints of God do follow them.
And Father, our prayer is that thou wilt just bless her influence, even, Lord, as people would think about her and remember her, O God. We pray that those who know thee not would be drawn to put their faith and trust in Christ for salvation, and that those who are thine will be encouraged to follow her example and to press on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Lord, as we come now to thy precious word, just draw near, Lord, and minister to every heart, Lord, as thou would see that need today, Lord. Those that mourn, who are grieving, whose hearts are full of pain and heartache, we pray that thou will comfort their hearts, that thou will strengthen them. We thank thee for help and grace and strength given, Lord, in the time of hospital and in the service already today at the home and in the graveside. And even, Lord, now in the remaining moments and in the days that lie ahead, be unto this family and this family circle all that they would need and require. Bless your word, Lord. Speak to any in this gathering today not saved. Save them by the grace of God. Bless your people. And in everything, we pray that the Lord Jesus Christ would be honored and glorified. In his name we do pray and ask all these things. Amen and amen. Now, Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, is a chapter that tells you and I about the advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a passage that you may often hear read at this particular time of the year. And we read of the message of the angels to the shepherds in the fields of Judea. We're also told here in this chapter about the birth of Christ in Bethlehem. And then we read of Mary and Joseph bringing the Christ child to the temple to present him unto the Lord. And it is here when they are at the temple with the Christ child that they meet with a man called Simeon. And God had spoken to Simeon in the past, and he had told them that he would not die until he had seen the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 26 of the chapter says, "It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." Well, at this juncture in the temple, Simeon is now brought face to face with the child Jesus. And upon seeing the child, this man goes on to speak some remarkable words in verses 29 and 30. And these words are really a prayer to God. And in these verses, as he addresses God, Simeon says these words. He says, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Now this afternoon, it is those same words I want us to consider. I believe these words are most applicable, even for an occasion like this service today. And these words, they're words of great comfort to hearts today that are aching. But also in these words, they're words I believe that would challenge all our hearts about our great need of God's so great a salvation. I want you to notice, first of all here, Simeon's realization. Verse 29 of Luke chapter 2, he says, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart." I want you to notice there how Simeon uses that word depart here as he addresses the Lord in prayer. You see, Simeon realized that a time would come when he would depart this life. He would depart this scene of time. He knew a time was coming when he would die. He knew that he was not here upon this earth forever, upon this scene of time, as it were, forevermore. He realized a time of departure was approaching for him. And people, can I say, this is a fact. This is a reality that you and I, every one of us, need to realize, and we need to understand, need to think about, and we need to come to terms with. One day you and I are going to depart this world should the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ tarry. We are going to leave this world. We are going to die. We are going to leave this scene of time. We can say that this is the great common denominator of all mankind, no matter who we are, no matter what our background is. Whether we are rich or poor, whether we are young or old, whatever our creed or our color or our religious background might be, this is something that affects every single one of us. The Bible says, "For we must needs die." The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. Indeed, it has been said that one out of one dies. Indeed, highlighting the same reality, the hymn writer says, life at best is very brief, like the falling of a sheaf, like the binding of a sheaf. And you know, this funeral service of thanksgiving here this afternoon, it really brings you and I face to face with the solemn reality, the reality of our departure and our departing this scene of time and our death. May it remind you and I this service of thanksgiving for Sister Audrey Burke, that none of us are here upon this earth forever. This is what Simeon realized when he spoke and used this word depart as he speaks to the Lord. And this is what Audrey also realized many years ago, that she was not here upon this earth forever. And that leads you and I to ask the question, what was the reason for Simeon's departure from this life? Indeed, what is the reason for our departure from this world and from the scene of time? And the Bible makes it very clear that the reason for Simeon's departure and the reason for our departure from this world is because of sin. Because of that little word that the Bible speaks to you and I about, three letters, S-I-N. You see, sin is the root cause of all death in this world. You see, every one of us, we have an inherited, a sinful nature from the fall of Adam and Eve, our first parents, in the Garden of Eden. The Bible says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world. The Bible declares, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What is our sin? Our sin is the breaking of God's holy law, the breaking of His commandments. Our sin is the failure of us to live up to the God's standard for our lives. Our sin is something that grieves God who is holy. Our sin is something that separates you and I from Almighty God. The Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And our sin is something that condemns each one of us to a lost eternity in hell. That place that our brother mentioned in the final verse of the Bible reading. That place which the Bible describes as the lake of fire. That place which the Bible describes as the place of outer darkness, where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That place that the Bible, the Word of God, warns you and I about, that place of everlasting punishment and judgment for sin. You see, the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And that is the ultimate end of all sin. You know, people, this afternoon, there was only one sinless person ever to walk this world in this scene of time. Who was that person? That person was not the Virgin Mary, as some would try to tell us. No, that person was God's eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only sinless person upon this world that walked this scene of time. And the Bible speaks to you and I about the earthly life of Christ. And the Bible says that he was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. He knew no sin. He did no sin. As you would think, even at this particular time of the year, of the baby of Bethlehem's manger, remember this, that he knew no sin. How different the Lord Jesus Christ is from you and I. And from all the rest of mankind. You see, we all have sinned, every single one of us, against God. The Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. Hence the reason why we all have an appointment with death. Hence the reason why we must all depart the scene of time. Hence the reason, because of that old sinful nature, that the Bible says we are condemned already to a lost eternity. You see, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And this was Simeon's realization. He realized that he was going to depart. He realized that he was a sinner, lost and undone before God. Tell me, have you ever realized this, that you're going to leave this world one day? Have you realized before Almighty God that you're a sinner, lost and undone before a holy God of heaven? in your natural state. This was Audrey's realization. She realized she was not here forever. She realized she was born into this world, a sinner by nature and a sinner by practice. She realized that in her natural state she was without God, without hope, and without Christ in this world. Yes, we see here Simeon's realization, but notice something else here from these few verses. Notice Simeon's preparation. You see, realizing that he was going to die because of a sin, Simeon made preparation for this. And how did he make preparation? He made preparation by seeking after God's salvation. You see, this man Simeon, he knew that God's salvation was the only remedy for his sin. It was the only remedy for his appointment with death and his condemnation to a lost eternity in hell itself. And Simeon is a man who knows that God's salvation is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, alone. For I want you to notice what he says about the Lord Jesus Christ in this prayer as he addresses God, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ in verse number 30 of the chapter. Notice the words he says, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." What a statement. "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Oh, that every one of you in the gathering this afternoon would be able to say those words, even as Simeon said them so many years ago. "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." You see, Simeon knew that Christ was no ordinary person, that he was no ordinary child. He knew that Christ was the Son of God who had come to die for man's sin upon the cross of Calvary. And Simeon here makes reference to this very fact as he speaks to Christ's earthly mother Mary further on down the chapter. In verse 35 he says to Mary, "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also." And there he was referring to the fact prophetically, to the time when Mary would stand at the cross and watch the Lord Jesus Christ, that Son that you'd born into this world, dying upon the cross for sinners. My Simeon realized that it was only the Lord Jesus Christ that could save man from sin. For he says to Mary, this child, the child Jesus, is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel. Yes, he will be the judge of many who are unsaved. But it'll also be the means of raising many from the darkness and the dominion of sin, raising them into the glorious light and liberty of God's salvation. And my Simeon knew that Christ was to pay the debt of his sin, the debt of Simeon's sin, and to purchase a way of salvation for him. How? By the shedding of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. He knew that by his sacrifice upon the cross, that Christ was to purchase salvation for him. And you know, with that realization, what does Simeon do with Christ? And I want you to see this. He receives Christ by faith. He trusts him as his own and personal Savior. And you have testimony of this in the scripture of how he treated Christ's child, how he received him. Look at verse 28 of the chapter. It says of Christ and Simeon, it says of Simeon, "Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God." He received Christ. He embraced him. He did not reject him. He did not turn away from him. He did not dismiss the Christ child. He took him up in his arms. He says, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Grieving family and friends this afternoon, let me say this, that God's way of salvation has not changed, and it never will change. You see, the Bible says that salvation is of the Lord, and in love and in mercy for sinners like you and I. What did God do? He sent his Son into this world to be the Savior, to save us from our sin, to save us from a lost eternity in hell itself. The Bible says the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And by this way of salvation he accomplished by his own death, by his own sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary, The Bible speaks of Christ and says, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. There's healing, deliverance, salvation from sin through the stripes, through the wounds, through the sacrifice of Christ upon the cross. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation. And dear friend, in the meeting this afternoon, let me say this, that if you are to know all your sins forgiven by God, if the dominion of sin is to be broken in your life, and if you are to be saved from a lost eternity in hell itself, then like Simeon, this man we're looking at today as a repentant sinner, you must receive Christ by faith and trust Him to be your Savior. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. You can only have the life of God's salvation by faith in Christ. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And you trust Him as Savior by simply calling upon Him in faith to be your Savior, realizing your need as a lost sinner before God. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That word whosoever takes in every single one of us in this gathering here today. That is what Audrey Burke did many years ago on that final week of that gospel mission in 1954. And you know, if Audrey could speak today, if she was here today and if she could speak to every one of us in this gathering, she would tell you to do likewise, to call upon the Lord for salvation. Simeon's realization, his preparation. But notice one final thought here, and it is simply this. Simeon's anticipation. For listen again to what he says in Luke chapter 2, verse 29. He says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. Notice the mention there of the word peace. What does that word peace mean? What does that word peace refer to? That word peace refers to the peace of heaven. That's why Simeon could depart this world in peace. And my, this is the great blessing that that awaits all, that awaits everyone who departs this scene of time, trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. Brother read to us there from Revelation 21 about heaven. And it says in verse number 3 of that chapter, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. We're told at the end of the chapter, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever work of an abomination or make of a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. What a place heaven is. No sin there, no sickness there, no death there, no sin there. Place of everlasting life, everlasting joy, and fellowship with the Lord and with His people. And this was Simeon's realization when he said to the Lord, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. You know, for this man, Simeon, the fear of death and the sting of death was vanquished through Christ. Through what Christ had done for him on the cross and through knowing Him as Savior. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. My having Christ as his Savior. Simeon was ready to die. He was ready to depart this world, the scene of time. He was looking forward to glory, looking forward to heaven. And you know, people, this was Audrey's anticipation as well. She often spoke to me as her pastor about going to heaven. In fact, when she was sick and ill, she often wished that soon the Lord would take her home. Grieving family and friends, yes, Thursday morning was her departure. That was Audrey's departure from this scene of time. But keep this before you. Not only was it her departure from this world, but it was her glorious homecalling. Her glorious homecalling to heaven. To be with Christ and with the redeemed forevermore. For you know the great promise of Christ to every man, every woman, every young person, every boy and girl who trusts him as Savior is this. He says, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He gives his people life everlasting. He saves and he keeps unto life evermore. You know, at this very moment, Audrey is rejoicing in the Savior's immediate presence. And as Paul said in his letter to the Philippians, she is with Christ, which is far better. And family and friends here this afternoon, let me say this home of heaven, this place of everlasting life and peace and joy and glory can be your portion also. If like Simeon, indeed if like Audrey, you come by faith to Christ as a repentant sinner and put your trust in him for salvation. The Lord Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And if you have not already trusted Christ, I pray that even you will do today. For I tell you this, when death comes, death can come very suddenly, it can come very speedily, every opportunity for you to be saved and to get right with God will be gone. Gone forever. That's why the Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. That's why the Bible says seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Now is the time that you're guaranteed. Now is the time for you to be saved. Now is the time for you to get right with God. Now is the time for you to trust Christ and to call upon him for salvation. That's my prayer today, if you haven't already done so, that you will trust him as your Savior. Then you'll be ready to depart this world whenever that call comes. Whenever it comes, should it come very quickly, very swiftly, you'll be ready to depart this world to be with Christ, which is far better. One day, yes, when you're saved, you'll meet with Audrey again. You know Christ is your Savior and have trusted him. Then, like this man, Simeon, you too will be able to say to the Lord, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. You know, whenever Audrey was here on earth, she saw the Lord by faith. But you know, that faith has now given way to reality. And she's looking upon the face of her beloved Savior, the one who loved her. The one who gave himself for her upon the cross. Men and women, young people not saved, come to the Lord today. Trust him. Have the joy of your sins forgiven. And know the wonderful blessing of God's so great salvation in your life. For time and all of God's eternity to come. May God bless you and help you to come today for Jesus' sake. Amen. We'll hand back just to our brother, the Reverend Bob.
Thank you very much indeed. Solemn thoughts. I want to sing our last hymn, please. Can I just mention that the family, grateful to you all for coming, want to invite you to the church hall for some refreshment immediately after the service. So please don't rush home. And be sure you do that. We'd also like to thank the ladies of the church here who have prepared the refreshments for you all. And please don't forget that and go and enjoy fellowship there. And you can meet with the family, of course, as well. We'll stand to sing, When All My Labours and Trials Are O'er.
When all my labours and trials are o'er.
Father, we pray as we leave this house of God today that the Lord will go with us. Yes. Write your word on every heart. Bless what has been said and sung. Bless our fellowship even together. Receive our thanks for the food kindly provided. Bless it to our bodily use, us in thy service. Then take us all to our homes in safety. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.